country fan like I am. Hey, I got a Chevy, she can flip a quarter. I'd drive her anywhere from here to California. When this song is over, I gotta find her, cause she had me. Hey, it's Carolina. Yeah, she had me. Hey, it's Carolina. Radio, 98.3 FM WCQM, Park Falls, a civic media station. This is 98Q Country.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Fed Chair Jerome Powell says he'd like to see more proof inflation is coming down before cutting interest rates, telling conference attendees in San Francisco Friday.
We don't see it as likely to be appropriate that we would begin to reduce interest rates until the committee, the Federal Open Market Committee, is confident that inflation is moving down to 2% on a sustained basis.
The city of Baltimore is working to clear the wreckage blocking its port after Tuesday's Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse. Cranes provided by the Navy arrived on Friday to help. Several injuries reported after a United Airlines flight from Tel Aviv to Newark International Airport was diverted to an airport in Orange County, New York, due to turbulence. There are renewed concerns over the health of Pope Francis. After the 87-year-old pontiff bowed out of Good Friday service last night, the Vatican says he will be there for Easter services on Sunday. This is ABC News. Several injuries were reported after United Airlines flight from Tel Aviv to Newark International Airport was diverted to an airport in Orange County, New York, due to turbulence. United Flight 85 landing at New York Stewart International Airport yesterday evening. Port Authority officials say six people complained of injuries, with one refusing medical attention and five others taken to an area hospital. The plane refueled and went on eventually to land at its destination in Newark. A reported theft of around 200 beehives stolen from a ranch just south of Selma, California, is part of an apparent disturbing trend.
Bees are crucial in pollinating crops to help almond trees and more grow in Fresno County, California. But, says Tony Boddy from the county sheriff's office,
in the last 4 months, we've had about 600 hives reported stolen. That's a value of about $150,000.
Ranch co-owner Ed Harmon.
The beekeeper's out $200 a hive. The
sheriff's office says thefts increase this time of year when bees pollinate. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Dave Packer, ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. March Madness is in full swing. Playing the brackets can be fun, but as Mike Moan reports, some people can get addicted to gambling.
A 2018 U.S. Supreme Court ruling paved the way for states to decide if they want to legalize sports betting. That helped fuel the presence of online platforms where people can place wagers through their smartphones. Wisconsin limits live bets to tribal casinos, but bettors can flock to some neighboring states for online access. Rose Blazinski of the Wisconsin Council on Problem Gambling says they're neutral on these laws, but still have concerns.
We know that more people are going to do it, and we also know that more people are going to become addicted to gambling.
To protect yourself from falling into traps, prevention experts recommend only betting what you can afford. And if troubling patterns emerge, they suggest things like deleting betting apps and switching to flip phones. Nearly 40 states allow some form of sports betting, but some do have restrictions for college games. The financial impacts of problem gambling can be obvious, but Blazinski notes that compulsive gamblers also have a higher suicide rate. And with mobile betting marketed toward young adults, she says this demographic should be considered high risk.
They're at a time in their life where they're high risk takers to start, and gambling fits right in with that, especially the sports betting. It makes them feel important. If you're winning, you can brag to all your friends.
Industry leaders note their ads come with disclosures about problem gambling and where to seek help, but prevention experts say they're not easy to understand, and they call for more broader funding to carry out assistance programs. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Here's another community reminder from Civic Media.
March 31st, between the 6:30 a.m. sunrise service and 9 a.m. church service, please come to the Easter breakfast in the Peace Lutheran Church basement. The youth will be serving an egg bake, sausage patties, pancakes, and dessert. Coffee, juice, milk, and water will also be available. The cost is $10 per person, children 5 and under, $5. Again, this is March 31st between the 6:30 a.m. sunrise service and 9 a.m. church service in the Peace Lutheran Church basement.
Leaning into local radio, 98Q Country.
The Brewers battle the Mets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was the first game of the season, and already tempers flared between the Brewers and Mets in New York after Milwaukee's Rhys Hoskins slid hard into second base. Coverage on the Mets TV network.
A tough pickup for McNeil. They're going to call the out. They are. And then an overslide at second base by Hoskins. And we have some hard feelings as Hoskins has words. Both benches have emptied. The bullpens are joining it as well.
No punches were thrown. Milwaukee went on to win the game 3-1. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
That shows what Rhys is about. He's a big league ball player. He's sending the message that even when you're not having the day you like it to play, you know, I'm going to play hard.
The series wraps up this weekend, followed by the Brewers home opener on Tuesday. College basketball Marquette season came to a close after losing to NC State 67-58 in the NCAA's men's tournament. The Golden Eagles finish with a record of 27-10. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Some snow and freezing rain possible on your Saturday. Today's high near 42 degrees. For tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 22. Mostly cloudy, 45 on Sunday. Chance of rain and snow mix again for Monday with a high near 43. And Tuesday, partly sunny, 43. Right now, 31 degrees.
Broadcasting from the Alclair Outdoors Studios.
Presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're not just a radio show anymore.
This is Sporting Journal Radio.
That's right. Welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. We're here to talk about the latest in the outdoors in Minnesota, the Dakotas, Wisconsin, and beyond. From working to continue to fish for sturgeon to finding the best way to keep our hunting and fishing sustainable for generations to come and fighting for your rights as a hunter and angler. We're going to talk about predator management on this show, too, after that fatal mountain lion attack in California. That's Dan Amundson over there. What's up, Dan?
Hey.
David, I almost called you David Amundson over there. You're part of the family now, David.
That's weird.
Not only part of the show, you're now part of the family. You didn't see that in the fine print, did you?
No. I missed that in the contract.
David, you got a contract?
That card.
You're employed?
Verbal.
You get paid?
It was a verbal contract.
Verbal, yes. Very verbal over a case of Busch Light, I think. So that's binding.
Yep.
All right. We also have Aaron Amber, the president of Nexus Outdoors, is going to be joining us on the show. We're going to talk about whitewater gear. We'll talk about Scentlock, Blocker Outdoors, Hardcore Decoys, and more. That'll be coming up later in the show. Joe Henry's going to join us. We're going to talk about the Rainy River and what conditions are like up there. We'll talk about muskies in Minnesota, touch on Red Lake and Mille Lacs. We'll also talk about what to do if you're approached by a mountain lion. According to the National Park Service, this is just some interesting stuff there. And then we're going to tell you about a video that's tough to watch for those of us that own hunting dogs. But first, Dan, who are the sponsors this week on the show?
Invergrove Toyota. When looking for your new rig, head over to Invergrove Toyota. They're the official truck sponsor of Fish Hunt Forever. Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. You can fish out of a snow bear, but now you're going to be looking for a summer trip to Devil's Lake. Learn more at haybaleheights.com. OnX Hunt, landowner information, public land access, and much, much more. Know where you stand with OnX. Prairie Sportsman, the new season is back underway. Watch episodes anytime at the Prairie Sportsman YouTube channel. And Lake of the Woods Tourism. Lake of the Woods is the walleye capital of the world. Plan a trip for ice fishing still, the Rainy River maybe, or a summer trip at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Very good. I'm very excited about getting back up to the Rainy River, and we're going to talk more about Lake of the Woods and ice fishing. We all thought ice fishing might be over by now, but just kidding. It's still March in Minnesota, and that means winter snowstorms. And a lot, I didn't realize it was going to stay as cold as it was for as long as it's going to. And it, not that it's going to be bad. I mean, we're talking still 30s and 40s for highs, which is probably still about average for this time of year, really. But some overnight lows, we've had some single digits here. It was still a little bit cold after the storm. Anybody know how much snow we actually got in that storm?
No. I figured 6 to 8, maybe, at my place.
I don't think we were in the direct path. But I know they were, at one point, they were talking about 25 inches for us here in western Minnesota. We definitely didn't get that.
No.
But we got some heavy, wet snow, which I know, Dan, we talked about, you know, making sure the generator was ready because we were worried about maybe with the heavy, wet snow and the winds, maybe some power lines going down. Thankfully, we didn't have that. I didn't hear about any problems anywhere that I know of. Definitely some areas got more snow, some got less. Anyway, definitely got cooled off a little bit and some things froze up in some areas, some of the small sloughs. I think we had a reverse migration for a lot of waterfowl and not surprised by it. You know, we've had it pretty good this winter, not going to complain about it too much. But I was hoping for some nice like 60 degree days up at the Rainy River for the SGR 500, which is coming up here in not too far away, April 9th and 10th. And right now, we're actually looking at the forecast. They're talking about low 40s for the highs on the April 9th and 10th. That could change between now and then, of course. It's still a little ways out. So looking forward to that. It's a Fish Donkey two-day tournament. Find out all the info at sportingjournalradio.com. Look on the Fish Donkey app for the SGR 500. You can win some cash. You can win some cool prizes. We'll be giving away a bunch of stuff. We have a good party at Riverbend Resort while we're up there. And we record this show live in the bar, so you can come join us and be a part of our live studio audience. Ladies and gentlemen, April 9th and 10th at Riverbend Resort at Lake of the Woods. All the details at sportingjournalradio.com. And they've got a lodging special going on up at Riverbend, too. So give them a call. And I think they're doing like $50 a night per person. So call them and they'll have more details for you. Tell them you're coming up for the Sporting Journal Radio Tournament, SJR 500. And now, ladies and gentlemen, some headlines. That's right. So here's what's going on around Minnesota to start with. Anyway, we still don't know a whole lot about the Red Lake situation, but the last thing I heard is that they want the whole upper Red Lake back, some of the land, but they're saying that it won't affect you still, like non-tribal members still being able to use the lake. We'll see where all this shakes out. This is going to be discussed, I think, for quite a while coming up yet. Also, MinFish has sent a letter to DNR Commissioner Sarah Stroman. While MinFish has a goal of a healthy and long-term sustainable fishery on Mille Lacs Lake with the Minnesota DNR, we cannot forget Minnesota anglers' rights to access their public waters for the opportunity to harvest fish. It is for these reasons we respectfully ask the Minnesota DNR to re-examine the fisheries data and methodology used by the DNR when making the 2024 harvest decisions for Mille Lacs and share the findings with a more comprehensive report for state anglers before the Minnesota fishing opener on May 11th. That came from Dave Osborne, the MinFish president. There was more to that letter, too. I just kind of hit the main spot about Mille Lacs, but essentially MinFish has asked the DNR to say, like, wait a minute. How are you really coming to the conclusion that it has to be catch and release only? Now, and I want us to make one thing clear, and I think we're all in agreement here, that we don't mind catch and release. You know, in certain situations, catch and release is very good for a fishery. Now, if walleye fishing is unreal at Mille Lacs and it's a catch and release opportunity and you can catch some giants, you can have some huge days, sure, that's great. That's a lot of fun. I'm not going to tell anybody not to go there for that. And I'm not saying that you need to have the ability to keep one fish, but the principle of the idea that the lake is as healthy as it seems to be, yet it's only catch and release. Like, something is not adding up there to me. Something is not making sense, and that's why I have the issue with it. I know we put this out last week, and everyone's like, oh, go somewhere else then. Oh, catch and release. If you go, catch and release is good. Catch and release is great, unless it's deep water, of course. We all know that situation with barrel trauma, but there's something is weird. Something is fishy about this right now.
Anyway. I don't know what you mean, but it had the cadence of a joke.
I think we can thank Jeremy Smith for this one, too. The Minnesota DNR is seeking input on a muskie plan. For the plan update, the Minnesota DNR hopes to hear from anglers who fish for muskies, other anglers, lake user groups, partners in tribal nations, and anyone interested in muskies. People can share input in an online scoping survey on the Minnesota DNR muskie webpage. A webinar about the update process is planned for fall of 24, and in the winter of 24-25, the public will be able to review and provide input on a draft plan. Some Montana news. David brought this one to me. We saw a couple of new things. A new Montana law now in place allows a non-resident Montana hunter who possesses one preference point for 2024 can now buy a second preference point up until December 31st. Is that, you hunt Montana, David? Is that something?
No, I don't.
Sounds like it's something new.
Yeah, it was just something I saw that got forwarded to me.
Well, and this gives the applicant two preference points going into the 2025 drawing. And then what you were talking about is that if you are applying for a non-resident license in Montana and do not apply in consecutive years, you will lose accumulated preference points. So any accumulated preference point is lost if the applicant does not apply for a non-resident combination license in consecutive years or if you are successful at obtaining a combination license. So some changes anyway, if you hunt Montana, some changes in the way they work their preference points. All right, coming up, we got Aaron Amber from Nexus Outdoors. We got Joe Henry with the Lake of the Woods and Rainy River update. We're going to talk about some mountain lion tips. You could encounter one here in Minnesota or the Dakotas, of course, even in Wisconsin. It's possible. We'll get into all of that here in just a little bit. Don't forget, another new episode of Prairie Sportsman coming Sunday night at 7:30 p.m. on Pioneer PBS. We go with the Minnesota DNR to learn about barotrauma. It's the episode we've all been waiting for a long time. So Sunday night, you'll also be able to see that on the Prairie Sportsman YouTube channel and some AIS stuff as well on that new episode of Prairie Sportsman. Search your guide for a listing near you on a PBS station near you.
It doesn't get much better than fresh perch and fresh walleye. If you're looking for an exciting winter fishing destination, come to Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort is on the ice with a fleet of snow bears keeping you mobile and warm so you can stay on the roaming schools of fish. Hay Bale Heights on the east end of Devil's Lake has knowledgeable guides, comfortable cabins, and their own lake access, making your trip as successful and stress-free as possible. To book your trip, go to haybaleheights.com. That's haybaleheights.com.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
All right, this is Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for watching or listening wherever you are. David Eckhart, Dan Amundson with us as well. Some sad news coming out of California. Mountain lion attacked two young kids that were out there searching for sheds. Talon Brooks, age 21, and his younger brother, 18-year-old Wyatt Brooks. They're out shed hunting in Northern California. These are guys that hunt and fish. They go out there all the time looking for stuff. Probably normally carry a gun with them when they do this, but since turkey season was about to start, they didn't want any confusion. They didn't want anybody to think they were out there trying to kill a turkey when they weren't supposed to, so they didn't bring a gun. According to the Sacramento Bee, the pair were walking down a rural road when the mountain lion attacked Wyatt, immediately going straight to his face. 18-year-old and the lion wrestled on the ground when Talon punched the big cat and yelled, getting its attention. It then switched and attacked Talon, took him down while Wyatt yelled at him and tried to punch the mountain lion. Although it kept its grip tight on Talon and wouldn't let him go, so then Wyatt then went for help. Game wardens arrived, shot in the air to scare the big cat off, but it was too late for Talon. The wardens later found the cat and killed it. It weighed 90 pounds, according to the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, where male mountain lions weigh from 85 to 170 pounds. Females weigh 50 to 110 pounds, which is crazy. You know, you look at even just house cats, they're like ninjas. Could you imagine, like, one that weighed 150 pounds coming at you like that?
That'd be terrifying.
Yeah. I've hunted in mountain lion country before. I've never seen one. I've seen tracks. I remember one time I was snow goose hunting in North Dakota, and I was in the kind of east central part of the state, you know, not really mountain lion country, but obviously they travel through there, probably young males like this one, trying to, you know, getting kicked out of its territory, trying to find some place to go. And they just seen a mountain lion in this area where I was snow goose hunting. And I was out there by myself one time, And I was laying in this field, and I was actually on a field edge. I was tucked up against some tall grass, and I'm laying there. You know, you're down on the ground in this layout blind, ground blind, and anytime I'd hear the grass rustle behind me, I was like, oh, you know, it was freaky. Like, because I could see that being a situation where, you know, they could sneak up on you. You need to have no idea. And then all the years that I deer hunted and pheasant hunted out in the Badlands, I was always kind of worried about seeing one out there, but never did. They generally steer clear of humans. It's not usually something you have to worry about. The last known fatal mountain lion attack in California was in 2004, so 20 years ago. And according to Wikipedia, there's been 126 mountain lion attacks in North America in the last 100 years, 27 of them, which were fatal. So in the last 100 years, 27 people have died from a mountain lion attack in North America. So I did a little bit of research, guys. This is trying to help you out here in case a mountain lion is coming down towards you. You interact with one. According to the National Park Service, do not run from a mountain lion. They're going to be faster than you anyway.
Never seen me run.
Running may stimulate a mountain lion's instinct to chase. Instead, stand up and face the animal. Make eye contact with it. I would probably start yelling at it. Make a lot of noise. Try to be intimidating. This is good advice. If you have small children with you, pick them up if possible so they don't panic and run. That would be the absolute worst if you had a small child trying to run and a mountain lion took chase after him. But this part of the advice, according to the National Park Service, your safety is the utmost importance, and we won't necessarily prosecute you for harassment of wildlife if something you throw at an aggressive mountain lion does make contact. Okay, just so you know, if you got a mountain lion attacking you and you throw something at it and hit it, the National Park Service won't prosecute you. Thanks. Thanks, National Park Service.
Wow.
They go on to explain how you can get rocks or sticks to throw. Just in case you don't know how to get a rock to throw at a mountain lion, one might ask, how do I reach stones or branches without bending down? Well, if you're in a trail cut, you could get rocks to throw from the side of the trail cut. If you're in a wooded area, you may be able to find a loose branch within reach, or feel free to break branches off trees or shrubs as necessary. Thanks. I appreciate you giving me permission to grab a branch if a mountain lion is about to maul me. Like, what, really? Like that? Do they have to tell you it's okay? We won't prosecute you if something is trying to kill you and you defend yourself? Like, where have we come as a society that this needs to be said?
It's probably one of those things where, you know, they drill it in your head when you go to a park or the Boundary Waters or something. Like, don't break branches. Don't do this. Don't harass the wildlife. Blah, blah, blah. And they don't want, like, these 16-year-olds or whatever running and throwing rocks at mountain lions and going, oh, it attacked me or whatever. And you know what I mean?
I get that part. Like, but my gosh, the fact that they have to spell it out. If a mountain lion is attacking you and you throw something at it, we won't get mad at you. Oh, thanks. Thanks. I'm still alive. Thanks. But I was worried about getting a fine for throwing a rock at a mountain lion. This gets interesting, too. They don't want you to bend down, right? So if you're with others, the shorter, smaller individuals could bend down close behind the taller, bigger individuals to grab rocks and sticks and then hand them to the bigger people. So if the three of us are out there, Dan, you're our rock and stick gatherer. David and I are just going to try to look like one big animal.
I've run away by now. I'm
Dan's gone. Dan's
I know
gone.
I'm.
Where are those sticks?
Yeah. I know I'm faster than both of you, so okay. It'll eat you.
Yeah, I can trip you just as easy though, Dan.
Okay. How would you like it when I throw a rock at you?
Don't. It's against the law.
David's
parks.
A wild animal?
Yes.
David's not trying to attack you.
Well, yes, he is if he's tripping me.
Then it's okay.
No, see, I actually did some research on National Park Service PSAs. They did one about bears. See if I can find it. That's X. I don't want to go on X. Hang on.
Cool story.
So pipe down.
So while you're looking for that, oh, you found it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's funny. Friends don't use friends as bear bait.
Told you it was funny.
Well, you don't know us very well, I guess. National Park Service continues. If the mountain lion still moves in your direction, start throwing things at it. Initially, during this stage, aim for its body as accurately as you can, but avoid aiming at its head. Aiming at its head could result in the cat being blinded in one eye. So if you're being attacked by a mountain lion, we give you permission to grab rocks to throw at it, but don't aim for its face. Okay, so if you can think about that while you're being mauled.
Try not to blind it.
Try not to blind it. Oh, gosh. All right, I'm going to close with this. As predator protections increase, it's not to protect the animal as much as it is to limit our hunting and trapping, because animals are still being killed. Just like here in Minnesota, we have a wolf ban on, a hunting ban on wolves, but 200 wolves a year or so are still being killed, and only we're paying for it. So USDA pays $135,000 on average each year for problem wolves in Minnesota. That's around 110 wolves per year on average. State taxpayers are paying that. In contrast, in 2012, more than 23,000 hunters applied for 6,000 available wolf licenses. That costs $30 a piece for residents, $200 for non-residents. So if we do the math, $250 for non-residents. 6,000 licenses at $30 a piece, that's $180,000 that hunters would be paying to kill the same amount of wolves that state taxpayers are currently paying to kill the wolves. There's your math lesson. There's the what's wrong with the ban on wolf hunting in Minnesota. All right, it's time for some reels for you to watch.
Reels to watch for. The rabbit hole of reels continues. Reels to watch for.
We all waste a lot of time watching reels now, whether it's TikTok or Instagram. And David brought this one to us because David doesn't have anything better to do in his spare time.
You fish in a professional tournament, you did not use a $30 spool of line.
I actually used just Berkeley Big Game.
No, no, you can get 900 yards of it for $6.
All right, he's talking my kind of budget right now.
Clear the green.
The clear. I will not use the green. I use it on a lot of the jigs, you know, flipping, whatever.
You use the mono.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't use a lot of fluoro.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Except for all of my spinning rods will have liters of fluoro. All my bait casters are mono.
What about that?
I've never really noticed just a massive difference. I don't have a big need for fluoro.
Well, I'm sure several people in the comments probably just fell out on the floor in their living room.
So basically, you fished an entire professional tournament using Big Game.
Yeah.
Fishing line industry hype exposed. It's kind of refreshing that a guy can pull out a $9 spool.
There you go.
He won a $100,000 tournament.
That's going to buy him a whole lot of fishing
That's
line.
A lot of Berkeley Big Game. That's a lot of big spools of mono.
It's pretty wild. He must be a pretty good angler, too.
Must be.
That's pretty good. All right, and now videos to watch.
Video of the week.
So my video of the week is a tough one, and it's if you're a dog owner, it's definitely a tough one to watch. It's the Flush Season 4, Episode 13, Dog Life Members. It's in North Dakota, and Travis Frank talks about why he likes North Dakota. It's because of all the birds that are there, all the different species, waterfowl, prairie grouse, et cetera, pheasants, of course. That's what I loved about it when I was over there as well, too. It's about dog life members of Pheasants Forever. So there's a couple of dogs in this, Travis's dog, and then Quill is mainly who I'm going to talk about this. I've waited to watch this episode because it's Renee Tamala and her dog Quill, and I knew what happened. And if you're not aware, they were hunting, they were filming this episode, and a pheasant fell over a cliff or dropped over a cliff. And Quill took off and went over that cliff. And there's a moment in that episode where they're filming Renee and she sees her dog go off a cliff, and you just see the sheer panic. You see she just drops her gun, you know, drops her gear and takes off running. And it was it's hard for me to even talk about, but watching it, because you know you can just imagine what's going through her mind right there. And not that, and thankfully Quill is, after a long rehab and recovery, Quill is doing well. But man, just even knowing the story to watch the episode was kind of tough. And, I had a relatable, not similar moment hunting in Western North Dakota. And I shot a pheasant that fell over a shorter cliff, and I watched my dog Mika go over that. And I did the same freak out moment.
And I went running up to it. And just as I got to it, she came running back up over the top with a bird in her mouth. So she was able to run down the side of it, thankfully. I don't know how she did it, but it can get dangerous out there. So, Renee, I'm glad that Quill is doing okay. All right. Also, if you're looking for a new truck, well, Toyota Tundra at Invergrove Toyota is the choice that I made. And you should, too. They got some really cool Tundras that they custom built. They've got some new finance programs out. They got 2.25%. So you want to talk about interest rates right now and how ridiculous they are everywhere? New Tundras. 2.25% for 48 months through Toyota Financial, or 4.25% for 60 months. Those are some great interest rates right now at Invergrove Toyota. Those will only be in effect through April 1st, though. So if you're looking to get great interest rates on a new Tundra, talk to Invergrove Toyota today, and we'll knock $250 off when you tell them that you want the Fish Hunt Forever deal. Aaron Amber from Nexus Outdoors is coming up, and Joe Henry's got a Lake of the Woods report for us when we come back.
852 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand. The number one hunting GPS app just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Get it done right the first time with CNR Power Sports. Come see Carl on Ash Street in Park Falls when your boat, ATV, UTV, snowmobile, or even lawnmowers, snowblowers, chainsaws, and all other small engines won't start or run right. From light tune-up to full teardown and engine rebuild, Carl will bring his 30-plus years of experience to every job you bring him. CNR Power Sports is also the area's only factory-authorized warranty service center for Generac and DR brand equipment. Bring all makes and models. Look up CNR Power Sports on Google or give Carl a call at 608-228-7223. Find Carl where Ash Street meets the Tuscobia Trail. CNR Power Sports, your trusty pit stop for top-notch care.
Hey, it's Big G here, and Monday nights mean one thing, hunger. Head over to Harborview on the Lake for all-you-can-eat spaghetti with sauce and garlic bread for just $17.99 till 8 p.m. Knock off early for happy hour from 2 to 4 p.m., staying in half-priced appetizers and $3 beers. Mention me, Big G, for a special 10% discount from new owners Joe and Marisa. Don't wait, my discount ends March 31st. Harborview on the Lake in Phillips, Wisconsin, your Monday night hotspot. Celebrate 25 years of broadcast excellence with Joe Karnick. Congratulations from Ken's Carpet Center in Phillips, Wisconsin. And don't forget about the banana cream pie.
Indulge in perfection at Kayla's Kitchen and Closet. From rich espresso to mouth-watering sandwiches and scones, we've got your cravings covered. Need a sharp look? Rent a tux and strut in style. Stop by now on 2nd Avenue North in Park Falls for the ultimate hometown experience.
Wondering how to choose from all your spring break options? Pop quiz. Is your family into monkeying around, airbending on a flying bison, or diving into slime? Or all of it? Mall of America. Go bananas on the new Boots Banana Swing Ride. Take to the sky and fly with Appa. Then get slimed in the Nickelodeon Universe Slimulator. For the littles, cosmic crafts, and more at Crayola Experience. It's the spring break of choice at Mall of America. MallofAmerica.com/spring.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Some snow and freezing rain possible on your Saturday. Today's high near 42 degrees. For tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 22. Mostly cloudy, 45 on Sunday. Chance of rain and snow mix again for Monday with a high near 43. And Tuesday, partly sunny, 43. Right now, 31 degrees.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
All right, now we're going to check in with Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods Tourism to talk about the Rainy River, Lake of the Woods, and fishing. And, man, that, Joe, the ice season isn't over yet, it looks like.
Well, it's funny because, you know, a couple weeks ago, that Rainy River opened up so good and fishing was hot on that river. It still is hot. The fish are still there. But all of a sudden we get winter again and we get skim of ice going over the Rainy River. A few hardy anglers are breaking that skim of ice on the river to get out and fish. But but they can't fish the whole river because there's so much ice. Still catching, but ice fishing's still rolling. Who would have ever thought that our ice would hold? You know, we're getting some single digits at night. And I'll tell you what, ice fishing has still been very, very good. But I think psychologically, a lot of people have crossed that off their list already just because it got so warm so quick.
Yeah, well, I know a lot of times people turn their attention to pike this time of year when you talk about that ice fishing. And man, Joe, some of the northerns that have been coming up have been just giant.
Well, not only giants, but look at the number of big pike. I mean, a lot of big pike, multiple groups across the South Shore catching huge, huge pike. And, you know, for listeners, you know, our pike season up at Lake of the Woods is open year-round because we're border water with Canada. And certainly our walleye and sauger season is open for April 14th. So that's how we can be talking about catching these fish right now. You know, the thing about the pike is that, you know, for ice anglers, you're using tip-ups and getting out right now, these pike don't school. But this time of year, they're getting ready to go into the spawning ground. So they get, it's called pre-spawn. They get congregated in these pre-spawn areas. And they also have the feed bag on. So it's just excellent, excellent tip-up fishing. And of course, what'll happen is, you know, once the ice starts going out of the bays a little bit, those pike will slide in and they'll go in there with ice. And they'll spawn in some cases under the ice, but they'll slide into those bays. In some cases, they have access to back ditches that might be along a county road. In some cases, they're back in the mud where the water warms up, and they're kind of by, you know, either cattails or, you know, whatever the case may be. Some kind of vegetation where they can lay their eggs. But it's coming up. It's going to be game on. And so what people will do is they'll get in those back bays and they'll go using dead bait with a quick strike rig for the lethargic big pike. Some people will cast a daredevil or slow roll a spinner bait or maybe slow troll a crankbait through some of these bigger bays. A lot of ways to get her done, but that's all going to be approaching us here pretty darn quick.
I mean, a lot of people know about the pike fishing up there, but you think about walleyes when you think about Lake of the Woods and you think about this big expansive body of water with the big bowl in the bay there. But particularly on the south end, there's some big stretches of shallow water where you can target pike, isn't there?
Oh, big time. Yeah. You know, and I mean, right now, you know, give me an example. People are fishing in 4 Mile Bay. People are fishing in front of Pine Island. People are fishing them out in front of the Morris Point Gap. Some are fishing them in Bostic Bay, which is behind Morris Point there, kind of by that, you know, by the Kenmare Keys and the Bostics and the Linders and Cyrus and Walleye Retreat. And, you know, all those resorts from that Bostic Bay area, Morris Point, obviously. So, and then, of course, Zippel Bay. Zippel Bay is its own inland lake, but they're also getting fish right now out in front of Zippel Bay on the lakeside because those fish haven't entered the bay yet. So, and then of course over at Arneson's, heck yeah, that whole shoreline. You got, you know, Twin Islands, you got that whole shoreline that goes into Muskeg Bay, which is more towards the Warroad area. So, I mean, there's so much terrain there that these pike spawn. And I think that's also one of the great things about it is you have a diversity of spawning habitat. So if one area goes wrong because of a blast of cold water, whatever the case might be, killing those eggs, you got many, many other areas that are going to bring up the slack. But Brett, I mean, I don't know if you've done it or not, fishing those big pike early in the season, it is a lot of fun.
I mean, I've done it. I haven't done it at Lake of the Woods yet. And did you say red and white daredevil? I've never heard of that being good for northern pike before. Is that new?
I didn't say red and white. I did say daredevil.
Okay. What did you say?
But I'm not sure if I said daredevil. I don't know if I used.
I thought you said daredevil.
Daredevil, or if I used the word spoon.
I thought it's probably gold at Lake of the Woods.
Yeah, gold spoon. Yeah. Well, that's the nice thing about those pike is they're so aggressive. You know, something big and flashy. And I know just the old red and white daredevil has been such a good. I mean, forever. You look at the old timers. Whenever the pike bite is on, you'll see the old timers, whether they're casting from shore or in their fishing boats or whatever. What are you using? Red and white daredevil? What are you using? Red and white daredevil? Like, they're all throwing the same thing, and they're all catching fish.
Five of diamonds. Or five of diamonds.
Five of diamonds.
Yeah, for sure. Five of diamonds. Oh, yeah, you get somebody who's radical cutting edge, they get five of diamonds instead of red and white.
Well, Joe, I'll tell you what.
So much for forward-facing sonar, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Are you a cutting-edge angler? Oh, yeah, I use five of diamonds.
It worked. It still works. It still works.
Remember the old lures? You know, remember the old Lazy Ikes? Remember back when the floating rapala, the balsa wood rapala, mm-hmm. like a my favorite was either a 9S or an 11S, a 9 centimeter black and silver, or that 11 centimeter black and silver. Now look, now, I mean, I hardly use those baits. I do once in a while actually spring fishing with a three-way rig, but you know, those famous lures, when's the last time you used them?
Well, you know, growing up, when we had a cabin in Northwest Wisconsin, I would go out in the in a paddle wheeler, paddle boat, and I would cast those floating Rapalas and right at sunset, and I would catch bass all the time, and they'd come up and explode at the top of the water. It was a lot of fun, but it's funny.
I can remember to twitch them too, Brett, where you cast them out, let all the ripples go away, and you just touch the line, just a little bit of ripple. And it would drive those bass crazy, wouldn't it?
Man, it's tough to beat. And so much fun when you're, 12 or 13 years old and you're out there catching fish like that. It's well,
how
good
about,
time.
How about trolling for walleyes at night and putting down that the balsa wood lure and getting that out away from the boat, long lining them? And, I mean, wasn't that a staple on Mille Lacs and, you know, really anywhere you'd pull the cranks at night for walleyes? You know, things have changed. There's so many choices now with... I won't get into all the different brand names and rattles and neutral buoyancy, and there's so many choices now.
Well, Joe, you're right, and for the SGR 500 this year, maybe pulling some cranks on three ways, and
I'll tell you something.
You know,
don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody.
That's just between us. And one thing I thought that was interesting when we did that, you and I did that in your boat a couple of years ago. Is and it makes a lot of sense, of course, but not the non-diving, you know, or shallow diving crankbaits. When you're running them down there on weights anyway, then you don't have them digging into the bottom quite as much, and they're running right down there near the bottom, right where those fish are. So that obviously
we were jigging, and those fish just weren't real active. Those fish were spread out. We weren't really on a big pot of them, so we said, screw it, let's start covering some water and let's just slow troll upstream some cranks, let's cover some water. And boy, I tell you what, did things change in a hurry for us, didn't it?
Yeah, how did you do that year, Dan?
Great.
I don't think it mattered for our
did you notice on the picture who's holding the walleye in that from that year? I don't know why you bring that up like I didn't catch fish that year.
I didn't say you didn't catch fish. I just
Dan, I'm not sure.
Side-eyeing like this. Like,
hey, when Brent asked you that question, I'm not sure. I thought I saw your mustache twitch. No, I couldn't remember.
Here's what I know is whatever I did, I didn't have to go troll crankbaits. I actually got to have fun while I fished.
Well, we caught a lot more fish. Yeah, I remember that, which was a lot more fun, I think.
I'm not a trolling guy. Well, I don't. It's not my thing.
I prefer to jigger fish myself, but I also prefer to catch fish. Yeah, so
one fish, it's like the, you know, to each their own, man.
Danny, don't tell me you're gonna live and die by one presentation with walleyes. Come on.
Oh gosh, no! I've got like 8 spinning rods rigged up with like 8 different things. Yeah, they're not trolling.
8 different jigs.
Yep. Maybe a rip and wrap. Maybe a lipless crank. But
well, it's all different now with forward facing sonar. But I know it's funny when you do fish with Dan, don't plan on being able to store any rods or anything in his boat because there's no room. Like all his rod stores.
I didn't buy the boat for you.
That's a good point. All right, Joe. SGR 500 coming up April 9th and 10th. We were actually able to pull up the forecast and look at a forecast for those days, and I'm sure it'll change between now and then. But they're talking about low 40s for our daytime highs. Maybe a chance for some precipitation, but I'm sure that'll change. Probably change 3 or 4 times by the time we get there.
Yeah, it sounds like a good forecast, and that's one of the reasons you run the tournament those dates, is that normally that weather is pretty decent. And but I'll tell you what, you know what, we know there's a lot of walleyes in the river already. It should only get better. I think those dates are going to be really good for us.
Well, if people want to plan a trip, maybe the rainy this spring yet, or start thinking about the fishing opener, Joe, what should they do?
Check out our website, and that is lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
There's a few reminders coming up this spring. Hi, this is biologist Doug Lear with your weekly North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. All North Dakota anglers, trappers, and any hunters are reminded that the new licenses are required beginning April 1st. Your license can be purchased online by visiting the Game and Fish Department website. That's at gf.nd.gov. Once your license is processed, all hunters and anglers have the option to either print a hard copy or also download the license to your smartphone or mobile device. That's very helpful when asked to show proof while hunting or fishing in rural areas that lack cellular service. So I cannot encourage you enough to buy the license and then make a decision. Are you going to print it off? Are you going to save it on the homepage of your mobile device? Because when you're in the field and you do not have cellular service, it's your duty as a hunter or angler to show proof of license to a game warden when checked. Your license can also be purchased at vendor locations throughout the state. The 2024-2025 Small Game Fishing and Fur Bear licenses, those are effective April 1st, 2024 through March 31st of 2025. Again, all these licenses are purchased online at the Game and Fish Department website, also through our mobile app. That is this week's North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outdoors Report. I'm biologist Doug Lear.
Lake of the Woods, the walleye capital of the world, is calling out to you. From the northwest angle to the south shore and Rainy River, this is the Midwest's number one ice fishing destination. Walleye, sauger, perch, northern pike, and eelpout. The fishing on Lake of the Woods is like a world of its own. Experience the most amazing fishing through one of the many full-service resorts featuring heated fish houses, ice transportation, meal plans, and sleeper fish house options. For more information, go to lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned. Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
Oh, dear. Joel Karnick has been at 98Q Country Morning Show host for 25 years. Congratulations, Modere Nutrition, located on Division Street in Park Falls, Wisconsin. Your tasty, healthy alternative to lunch or an afternoon snack.
Start your four-year degree at NTC with University Transfer, the affordable way to complete classes with maximum transferability. With NTC's University Transfer degree, you can start here and go anywhere, including guaranteed transfer to UW-Madison. Learn more today by visiting ntc.edu/university-transfer. North Central Technical College. Start here, go anywhere.
Kyle Repair on Highway 13 in Park Falls congratulates Joel Karnick on 25 years of making Park Falls radio great. Kyle Repair, your Park Falls heavy equipment repair center. And think of Kyle Repair for your aluminum and dock welding needs too.
Gear up for adventure at Silly Goose Silent Sports in Park Falls, Wisconsin. New casual and adventure clothing has arrived. Think spring. Your one-stop shop for all your summer, fall, winter, and spring adventures.
Does this mild weather have you thinking about golf? Hi, Andrea here from Westwood Golf Course and Sand Trap Bar and Grill. We just wanted to let you all know that the 2024 membership information is now available. We have openings on our Tuesday men's league and a few openings on our Thursday men's league. We are also looking to add a mixed slash couples league on Sunday afternoons. Membership forms are available in the pro shop or on our website, westwoodsandtrap.com. Memberships paid in full by March 31st, 2024 will receive a credit that can be used in the pro shop or bar. Sand Trap Bar and Grill is currently open Thursdays through Saturdays. Stop in for a bite to eat and get your membership taken care of. So as soon as the golf course opens, you are ready to go. Golf Course Road is a short drive on County Road F off of Highway 13. See you soon.
Northwoods Community Credit Union, serving northern Wisconsin communities since 1953. Hi, I'm Sally. Starting from the basement of Lawrence Draxler's home to a commercial building on Highway 13 in Park Falls and Main Street in Ashland, today our longevity is member-owned, driven, backed by an experienced financial team, a strong board, and volunteer groups who put the members and community first. How far we have come. You can still write a check, walk in and make a deposit, get a loan, withdraw money, save money, or you can utilize our advanced services by using remote deposit, mobile, and online banking, online bill pay, and also apply for a loan online, all in your PJs at your own convenience. Northwoods Community Credit Union, membership required, federally insured by NCUA.
It's Ribs and Ribeyes every Saturday night starting at 4 p.m. at John Sweemont Corner Bar and Grill, located at the intersections of 111 and Highway 13 in Phillips, Wisconsin.
Wondering how to choose from all your spring break options? Pop quiz. Is your family into monkeying around, airbending on a flying bison, or diving into slime? Or all of it? Mall of America. Go bananas on the new Boots Banana Swing Ride. Take to the sky and fly with Appa. Then get slimed in the Nickelodeon Universe Slimulator. For the littles, cosmic crafts, and more at Crayola Experience. It's the spring break of choice at Mall of America. mallofamerica.com/spring.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Some snow and freezing rain possible on your Saturday. Today's high near 42 degrees. For tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 22. Mostly cloudy, 45 on Sunday. Chance of rain and snow mix again for Monday with a high near 43. And Tuesday, partly sunny, 43. Right now, 31 degrees.
Presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
This is Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in on the network. By demand, sportingjournalradio.com. Or maybe you're watching this on YouTube or downloading it and playing it on wherever you get your favorite podcast. Thank you very much for joining us. Now we're going to talk to Aaron Amber. He's the president of Nexus Outdoors. He's coming to us from Michigan. Aaron, how you doing?
Hey, good afternoon. Great. Thanks for the opportunity to chat with you guys today.
I grew up spending a lot of time in Wisconsin, obviously Minnesota and the Dakotas, but for whatever reason, I never made it over to Michigan much until the Aglow Conference a couple of years back. We went to Gaylord, and man, driving through the UP and then coming down into that northern part of the LP, I guess, or whatever, the MIT, or whatever you call the lower part of Michigan there. That's beautiful country over there. Michigan, see, now you're from South Dakota, right? How long have you been in Michigan?
Yeah, I've been in Michigan for about 8 years right now. So I'm a West River kid in South Dakota terms. You know, you have your east side of the state, west side of the state. So I'm a farmer ranch kid from South Central South Dakota and grew up on whitetail hunting on the White River and the Missouri River bluffs and cut my teeth catching walleye on the Missouri River system. And I lived there, I guess, for my formal life. Spent about 15 years in Nebraska when I was working at the world's foremost outfitter in the corporate office in Nebraska. And I've been at Nexus Outdoors since 2016. So, it's catching up on me quick.
I'm not going to lie. I'm sure Michigan is nice. And Nebraska, of course, has its benefits. But how can you leave South Dakota?
Yeah, like, that seems like a downgrade. I mean,
come on.
Oh, it's tough, honestly, you know, especially when you grow up around your grandparents, and I have siblings and nieces and nephews there, and a great governor and a great diverse state. You think about the east side of the state to the west side of the state. And, you know, like I told someone earlier, it's always in your bones, the dirt's under your fingernails and you know, the culture's in your bones and your soul. So I miss that a lot. I do get back once in a while. But I'll tell you, being a couple hours from Lake Erie to walleye fish isn't too bad either.
Yeah, I bet. and West River obviously is great, and there's one or two nice deer over there. But call me weird, but I love Eastern South Dakota, and maybe that's
you're weird.
Yeah, it's
for many reasons.
And obviously, I live in Western Minnesota, so we're in very similar habitat here, the prairie. Some great fishing, obviously, in Eastern South Dakota. I'm a waterfowl guy. I'm a pheasant guy. So I love the prairie. I love the grasses and the cattails and the sloughs and things like that. But, South Dakota, I don't want to make this a South Dakota show, but I love South Dakota. And, but Michigan is nice too. And you do have the Great Lakes there. And obviously for a company, like Nexus Outdoors and Whitewater specifically, which I want to talk about, it's probably nice having the Great Lakes there just for product testing.
Yeah. Well, when you think about, you know, the toughest conditions that to create product for. One thing I've learned about, you know, the Great Lakes, and it's a little bit different in Minnesota from the perspective, people are always out 12 months of the year here. And you think about with the inland lakes and the Great Lakes, people are bombing all the time. I mean, whether it's soft water or hard water, there's just an, I thought a lot of people were in the outdoors and the Dakotas, even Minnesota, you know, but I can't believe how engaged the audience is here. So when you think about those conditions, one of our brands we'll talk about today is whitewater fishing. And you think about keeping people warm, comfortable, in all sorts of conditions. When you think about the Great Lakes, it's just a great testing and proving ground for doing what you say and really making great garments to keep people comfortable and on the water longer.
Yeah, let's talk about whitewater. I mean, that's first image, whitewater, maybe you're thinking of rapids or things like that, but obviously the gear is for all sorts of fishing situations. This was new, what, about a year ago?
Yeah, about a year and a half ago.
And what was the goal? Like, you just say we need to create some rain gear, fishing apparel. What was the goal behind whitewater?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's an easy one for me to answer, because if you think about my days of how I grew up, you know, I've been around longer than I like to say right now, and I would use a farm analogy, is that we had a one-ton truck on the farm, and it was great for certain things. But when you think about where the industry is going with fishing right now, and you think about all the classic brands I grew up with the Guidewares of the world, and, you know, these one-ton trucks where you put a bib and a jacket on, and it's great because it's like it'll never fail. But one of the things that we really founded the brand on, when you think about brand attributes and those product attributes you want to deliver on, I really want to solve mobility. Mm-hmm. So when you think about the fishing environment we're in, picking up jigs off the floor, measuring fish, netting fish, jumping up over the gunwale, and just have that freedom of movement was a goal of our brand. So when you think about and look at our garments, one thing we've done really well at is incorporating stretch. So when you think about, forward-facing sonar and all the spot and stock that's happening from the bass world to now the walleye world, and that feeling you want to get where you want to be protected, but you don't want to feel like you can't do anything. And we believe that one of the things that had not been delivered to the industry is garments that not only kept you comfortable, warm, and dry, but they move with body. So that's one of the underpinnings of our brand is mobility. So I don't care if it's our three-layer suit, our insulated suit coming out this fall, our outdoor pant that we make for fishing, all of those garments that we're producing has a great element of mobility in it to make sure people are comfortable longer. And you think about all the active movements, every time you lift your leg, every time you cast, you're creating friction if you don't have great movement. So great styling, great fit combined with stretch. I'm telling you, that's what our brand's all about right now.
It's nice to see improvements to clothing like that have more of an athletic fit to them, because, yeah, I mean, if you wanted something that protected you from the wind, sometimes it was like wearing a sheet of plywood, you know, or, you know, some of those suits that you wear, the winter suits specifically, they get so big, you feel like the Michelin man walking around out there. So finding something that fits a little bit better and allows you to move is nice. And these have waterproof pockets?
Yeah, it's one of the things that it's the little things, but we even waterproof the pockets, because how many times have you been out there grabbing your phone, have something in your pocket, and all of a sudden you get some boat spray or you get in a rainstorm and people say, well, I got wet. Well, it's because your pockets were open. Normally all waterproof jackets and bibs, they have waterproof zippers. That's a given. But how many people went to the protect yourself from yourself and actually waterproof the pockets themselves? Like literally you could put some minnows, you don't want to run the back of your boat and grab them out of your pocket. So
that's, you know, a great idea.
Those are little things, you know. One of the things that we had an excellent weekend, you know, when you think about the show and the viewership on this show, we had a couple of great Wisconsin natives that did so great on the Bassmaster Classic, a 2 and a 5 finish by Jay Shakurit and Adam Rasmussen. And I only bring that up because they're using our stuff in a very mobile environment. If you watch Jay all weekend, he actually had our insulated suit on. So it's Zone Prima Lop. Adam had our 3-layer on. And why I bring that up is that they have, there's such a